I didn't look at politically. I tried to follow League of Women Voters guidelines, ignored incumbency, stuff like that. So two people do end up in Ward 5.
Well, who is proposing this one up here?
That, the top two is me. The top, okay. There's a top and a bottom.
These two. And the bottom one is?
The top two is the same. It's, I'm trying to show you, maybe it's confusing, and I'd like input on this because I'm not going to pass
it down. I think I live in the area.
Okay.
So these two are yours.
Right.
And this one's the other one, and then this is superimposed between the
right.
two.
I was trying to show where the new one would go on the other one. So if you think that's confusing, please let me know because I'm going to try to get some of these out next week. So anything, do you have any comments you have on this flyer?
I think the concern that they don't think they can find somebody to run, that's a cop-out.
They want people to come tell them, you know, if they live there, then they might be interested in running or whatever. I used several census statistics to show that, you know, there's over 1,000 owner-occupied houses in that area.
I think they could find somebody who's going to run.
In yours?
In that Ward 6.
In your proposed 6.
My proposed 6. There's over 1,000 owner-occupied houses. There's also almost 30% of the school-age kids live in that area. 30% of Urbana's kids. 1,500-some. So it's a pretty important area, I'd say. But right now it's divided up into 4 wards. You know, all the wards have about the same population, but right now it's divided up into 4 wards. You can analyze it politically for yourself. I think, you know, probably a couple of wards would be more competitive, but it'd also be possible to elect all Democrats.
What would happen to the remnants of Ward 6?
It got divided between 5 and 7. So the top two are mine. So
this would all be 5?
Yeah, that's all 5. That's so all 5. Barrington, okay. This main Barrington gets added to 5.
Okay. Where do you live?
I live in 4.
Oh, you're in 4, so it doesn't affect you.
No. Okay. Actually, I did draw
myself.
Well, 4
does look different.
I drew myself out of 4. I would be in 1.
Okay, I'm a...
So please let me know if you have any.
Yeah, definitely. Because I want to make more of the connection to the jury, the importance and the impact on the jury, if there's... So let's come back to that. I'm calling a meeting to order. It is about 5 minutes after 5. November 18th, 2011, we are the Citizens Advisory Committee for Jury Service in the Brookings Administrative Center, the Jennifer K. Putman Meeting Room. Roll call.
Randy Rosenbaum.
Bill Brown.
Joan Miller.
Roger Holland.
Michael Richards.
Pius Weibel.
Tom DeFonis.
Barbara Kessel.
Aaron Ammons. Jenny Putman should be coming in any minute now.
There she is.
I know that Patricia Avery will not make it today. She had a prior commitment, as well as Mr. Brian Dolinar. He and his wife just gave birth to a lovely, young, handsome boy. So he
Jake.
Will not. Jake William. So he will not be here. As well.
Patrick will not be here.
Okay.
I spoke to him about a different matter this afternoon. He will not be here.
Okay. Good.
Oh, boy, that's
so Jennifer has made her way in as well. A motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Moved by Judge DeFonis, second by Mike. Are there any discussion? Is there any discussion, additions, anything like that? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. And the minutes, Ms. Putman has walked in just in time to hand us the minutes.
I meant 10. I wasn't sure how many people there were to answer that. I have minutes from 2 meetings. If you read recent emails from me, you'll know that there were significant errors in the minutes from our September meeting. They had to do with the fees we would pay to Mr. J.W. Pirtle, and I apologize for that. I really rely on people to read the minutes. So that's a new version of those. And then the minutes of our last meeting, a lot of, in the discussion on report on the meeting with Kirk Bedwell, I had missed that portion of the meeting. So I'll have to get together with Aaron, Bill, Patrick, or Mr. Holland, too. I just have a few like keywords that were on the written minutes that I think Pius had taken. So we can fill that in. So if people don't help me with like the correct spellings of folks' names, et cetera, I'm just in, out of luck.
So Jenny, just for the sake of the minutes, what did you clarify in the September meetings, minutes?
In the discussion on the weekly WBCP radio show.
So you it's corrected now?
If you will read it and tell me if I finally got it right. And then I think there were some errors also in the two grants for the publication of the brochure, one for $200 and one for $500, one from the state bar and one from the county bar. So you might reread the paragraph on the trifold pamphlet also.
The
Can I ask a question about the Pirtle proposal?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't part of this package the public service announcement?
The ads, basically.
Ads?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Are they mentioned here?
No, they're not.
They're not. But shouldn't they be?
Yes.
Isn't that?
That's the major part.
I think I included that in an email that I sent to people. I can easily add that material. I'm very happy to do that.
Sure.
To have a better reflection of what was discussed.
I actually spoke with him earlier today on a different matter, but this would be talked about. I told him that we would be prepared to square this away, and so I think that amendment is made to the WBCP agreement.
Okay.
The trifold stuff is more Randy.
I think she had the dollar amounts mixed up or the number of pamphlets. I think this is correct.
This is correct. Okay. So a motion to amend and approve the
September
16th minutes.
So are you including the and ads? For the
yes,
with the
those
amendment?
Addition, with
okay.
those amendments, yes, with that amendment.
Fine.
So motion by Bill, second by Mr. DeFinis has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. So we have those minutes approved. And the minutes from October, did they circulate as well? I didn't get one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you only had one.
With respect, since it's basically an outline, if maybe we could, if I could have... Pius took some notes, and others could help me fill in what was discussed at the meeting with Kirk Bedwell.
Okay, we can
Want me to defer on these then?
Yeah, we can also defer on the October minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the master chairman over there showed me how to do that. You just motion to defer to next month.
I will move to defer.
Move to defer. Second.
Second.
By Roger.
Randy.
I'm back to getting y'all messed up
well,
again.
They both start with R.
We're both offended.
R-O.
We're both offended.
Yeah, equally, I think probably.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. Announcements and communications. Bill, I'm sorry, Joan, go ahead.
I just wanted to pass out the Who's Who from League of Women Voters. And if you already have it and you want another, take it.
Oh, I can always use one more of these. But they're essential. One at home, one at work.
You get to pick the color.
Because I have a blue one
under
here somewhere.
Oh yeah,
it's changed.
Not one.
So the blue one was last year. This is this. Is that? Oh, okay.
We have a different color every year.
There we go. Thank you very much. And Bill, your communication from the by way of the maps has Did everyone get a copy? Mike, did you get a copy of the proposed map?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good.
I don't have a copy, and I don't know what it is.
So, Bill, if you want to reiterate.
Urbana will be considering two ward maps on Monday the 28th, and the mayor told me today she would post them on their website by this coming Monday. So then they'll be up, and people can talk about them. Basically, it was a map I drew from looking at demographics, looking at fast-growing areas, and noticed that there was a pretty large area that hasn't had a representative in the area. Basically, I mean, it looked like a pretty compact, contiguous area of kind of middle class, working class, I guess some people would call them. But basically defined by affordable housing, lots of kids, lots of families, and also some trouble. So I kind of, you know, brought it to the council saying, I know you've put a lot of effort into this area, Philo Road, Washington, Learman area, and maybe by having a local representative, local neighborhood council person, it would be a step toward more civic involvement and have more kind of faster response to what's going on there, whatever. So anyway, they were pretty open to it, and so they approved both maps to go to council with no recommendation. So, you know, I'm not 100% sold on it, but I obviously think that it's a better map. I think it's a little more fair. And so if you know anybody in that area, they especially want to hear from people in that area whether they want that map or not, and that's really what I'm interested in.
So Bill, I'm missing how this is connecting to our committee. I'm a little bit lost.
Well, I think it has to do with representation on council. You know, everything we talk about is about representing the community on a jury. This is really no different. If you want to be represented by a local council person or someone that lives far away, it might have more to do with equal economic justice and kind of access to government. But we've discussed things that are farther off topic, and I didn't really want to discuss this. It was more of an announcement.
Okay.
If you guys want to discuss it.
No, I was just trying. I thought there was a connection I was missing. I apologize. That's all it was. Pius.
Never mind. Pius.
Okay.
Well, actually, I have a question about this. I sincerely wanted to know if your interest in this was in part inspired by what you've learned by the census material that you've studied through your interest and your service on this committee.
It probably did have something to do with it. Yeah, I think it made me more aware of the demographic changes that have been occurring in Urbana. Maybe a little bit.
I was just trying to, I thought there was something that I was missing. That's why I mentioned it that way. Certainly for announcements and communications, we have certainly communicated quite a wide variety of things. I was just thought I was missing something.
No, I don't think so, unless you can think of a better connection.
Okay, Barbara?
I just want to ask the specific question. If I live on East Colorado, am I in 6 under your
On the north side or the south side?
North side.
Yep.
South side's not?
The north, actually, it looks like both sides up to Cottage Grove. You live east of Cottage.
Just west of Cottage Grove.
No, you'd still be in
6.
7.
7?
Or 4. 4 or 7, I don't remember.
No, not 4. 7.
Mike?
Bill, did you say you made this map by yourself?
Yep.
Do you have the voting age populations for different racial groups for the new district?
I didn't look at them. I mean, I have them, but you don't have to look at them.
And I'm asking because specifically it relates a little bit to this committee. It looks like this District 6 probably, I'm pretty sure it's not majority minority, but it looks like it might be somewhat of an influence district. I know the county board district we ended up passing pretty down there was maybe 30 or 35% minority.
This
looks like, well, of course, city council districts are smaller, but it looks like probably a lot of the in this area, mainly African American population, is probably concentrated. Yeah, for Southeast Urbana, is concentrated in 6. So it's just.
Yeah, I did do demographics. I just didn't break it down by voting age. It was 36% exactly African American, and then there were other. I forget what the.
Okay.
36% African Black, 51% White, 5% Asian, 6.8% other, and 2 or more. It's also 6.4% Hispanic.
That was one thing. Were there any further questions or comments on this one? Another announcement, I guess, or some sort of a communication for me is that as we look at our work being centered around, at this point, around education and helping build the trust within the system. I think Judge DeFine has mentioned this before as well. There are other aspects and other things that take place within the cities that help or hurt us in this process. And I don't think anybody's lost on some of the various different things that have been taking place in the city of Champaign. And so there was recently a case where a young man who was who had claimed he had been beaten by the police. This was a veteran, Darren Mitchell, who had come back from Iraq and Afghanistan and said that he was abused by the police. Well, he was found guilty in a trial not too long ago. And I don't know what the racial makeup was.
All white.
An all-white jury. Now, I don't know, and I don't want to lead the witness. Somebody can object if I'm leading the witness here or whatever. But coming to the conclusion that the officers are always right, that they don't lie, they're going to, you know, the jurors are going to believe the officers more, right? I was just wondering, as I thought about that case and the Rantoul case, what impact that has on our juries. You know what I mean? How does that play out? Barbara?
Well, one thing that occurred to me as I was watching the second trial, the Rantoul one, is that every single juror is asked the question by the state's attorney. I don't know if this is true in every single trial, but he asked every single juror, have you ever had any negative interaction with the police? Were they ever rude to you or, you know, anything impolite? And they basically had to say no, never, if they were going to get on the jury. And I thought, well, if black people are going to tell the truth, who does that leave? And also, you get a very biased group that is going to believe the police because they've never had a negative interaction with them. But a lot of the population has, and they're excluded by that question, assuming people answer honestly, which is an assumption.
I think we're going to need Judge DeFantis to just not let people ask any questions at all. I mean, like, you fill out the questionnaire.
I thought about that once, and I read the cases, and I thought this will come back in a heartbeat. No, you got to let them ask questions. I can limit what they can ask. I can have them submit questions to me to ask and then let them supplement. But it would be very, very dicey if I sent a case up to the appellate court where I completely cut the attorneys out. But I have toyed with that idea, trust me.
Yeah, because it just seems like, I don't know, we're getting so much more information. I don't know how many of you have read any of the new Jim Crow book by Michelle Alexander. And she cites case after case in the Supreme Court and stuff where it's just, I didn't like this person's hair. I didn't like this, that, and the other. And so, and the judge allowed it to be, you know, a good reason for a peremptory challenge. And then the Supreme Court upheld it. So it's kind of like, there's no real barriers to these challenges and stuff. But
well, again, on a peremptory challenge, you don't have to give a reason.
You don't have to.
You just say, I want to excuse juror number so-and-so. Now, if the other side thinks you're doing that because of a racial motivation, then it's up to them to object, and then we have a hearing on that issue. But up until then, if nobody objects, it's a peremptory challenge. You get seven of them on a felony matter.
Period. And so if Randy doesn't object or any of the public defenders or whatever, or vice versa, however it goes down,
right,
then right, the judge doesn't. I mean, even if you thought personally that you thought something was not right about the line of questioning or what the motivations of the prosecutor, could you intervene on your own?
You could. There's a recent case that wound around the appellate and Supreme Court where a judge did interject himself. Managed to screw that case into the ground because he did it for all. I mean, the judge messed it up. It's not a good idea for judges to get involved at that point. This judge did, and it was an absolute mess. Because a couple of years later, they sent it back to this judge to explain his ruling, and it was you can do it, but it's not advisable. And again, one of the other questions they ask: do you believe police officers can make mistakes? And every now and then you'll hear a juror that say, well, not really. But 99.9 of them say, yeah, they're human. They're just like everybody else. So, I mean, these are some stock questions. They ever had any bad experiences with the local law enforcement? Yeah, do you believe police officers can make mistakes? It's it's an unscientific process where you're looking at that person and deciding, do I want this person on my jury?
Well, it's probably a good point for, you know, I guess, a public defender or anyone to have is to ask that second question that you just asked.
Well, they always do. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to...
I have a question. Is there a limit to the number of people that can be excused when they, you know, they say, I don't think I could be fair?
No, well, that's for cause. When they say they can't be fair, then there's no limit on
those. They've excused themselves.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Public participation.
Well, it's funny because I thank you for having public participation. Jenny Putman invited me. My name is Chris Evans, and I went to the Darren Mitchell case, watched that trial. And I thought I'd come down tonight to kind of share my thoughts about that case. I was very concerned about what I saw. There were 5 African-American defense witnesses, and their stories were very consistent as to what they saw officers do. There were 2 state's witnesses, the 2 police officers, and their stories conflicted in numerous ways. The jury pool of 35 originally was all white and 1 African American. The 15 that were selected for voir dire were all professionals, long-standing employment histories. None of them had contacts with the law, the criminal justice system, not even a traffic ticket. 9 of them had friends, family in law enforcement, and 2 of them used to work in the criminal justice system. So I never thought that the racial makeup of a jury would matter as to how to assess evidence, but after watching this trial this last week, I was shaken by the way what I thought was a very rigged, and I don't think the jury purposely or they just didn't have any experience and didn't have any idea that police officers could act the way they could possibly act. And the case really represented for me a very disturbing breaking point where African-Americans could leave that courthouse and believe they couldn't get a fair shake in that courthouse. So whatever you're trying to do, it hasn't happened yet because, again, 35 of the members of the jury pool, only 1 was African American, and I was amazed at how many had contacts with law and connections to law enforcement. So I'm just very concerned about that, and I thought I would share that with this committee tonight as a guest of Jim Paul. Thank you.
Ms. Putnam.
Chris, of course you're welcome, but I know we started our conversation with all the meetings are always open to the public, and you don't get an invitation because you're invited just by being a citizen to every meeting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But not every public body has public participation at the beginning and the end, but they got to have public participation. Mm-hmm. I had a couple more announcements before we got to the public participation.
I thought you were done.
Well, one had to do with the employee recognition event that was on October 31st.
Okay, well, let me just do one thing right here. Since we had already moved on and Chris did make his comments, are there any responses to what we heard from the public? Anyone, any comments?
I'm not familiar with the case. Does it make a difference? And can you just explain a little bit about what happened in the case?
Well, essentially, the 5 defense witnesses, and including the defendant, saw 2 Champaign police officers walk up to a gentleman, remove his, without any verbal commands, remove his drink out of his hand, put his hands behind his back, shove him through the door, took him outside, demanded that he get to his knees. When he said he was disabled, he was body slammed on his face. The booking photo backed that up. He was then pepper sprayed directly into his eyes so many times that he had to have medical treatment a couple days later, handcuffed, and charged with resisting arrest.
Doesn't seem and found somebody guilty in law enforcement on the jury.
Yeah, and found guilty by the 9 friends of law enforcement and 4 others. very disturbed by that case.
And the it was one African American in the pool. Did that African American make it to the box at all?
I mean, no.
Not even to be questioned.
Not even for ordinary, no.
Thanks, Chris. Any other comments?
Well, I have been concerned for a long time, and I've talked to Randy about this, about how the juries here tend to have so many people with relatives in law enforcement. And definitely more than Chicago, where I come from, but it's a totally different population and it's different, you know. So Randy has said to me that, that it's a small town, basically, and it's hard to be up there and not know somebody in law enforcement. But then, actually, Tom's son, Matt DeFonis, said in a sort of a table like this that he thought he should not have been chosen for a jury. He was on a jury within this year because he said, my father is a judge and my sister is a policewoman and her husband is a policewoman and the public defender should not have let me on that jury. Mm-hmm. That's what he just volunteered that. And so then that put on my mind that it is up to the lawyers to challenge, you know. And the second one I saw this week, the lawyer did challenge. The one person was a friend of Judge Clem's, and Judge Clem announced that, but he didn't, you know, throw him off. And then the lawyer said, we don't want that juror. And then there was another one who said he was friends of somebody in the sheriff's department. And the lawyer, who's not in the public defender's office, challenged that one. So those two were off, and there wasn't anybody that I saw that was let on the jury who was law enforcement. So that's what I understand about the problem, which is certainly not everything. I'm just an occasional court watcher. So
one other comment about my son. Years ago, he was called for jury duty in federal court. Steve Beckett is the defense attorney. Same exact reasons why he shouldn't be on a jury. Beckett kept him. He was the foreman, and it was guilty. Mm-hmm. So
was Beckett in for the defense?
Yeah, Beckett was the defense attorney. Mm-hmm. So again, it's an artful science, and a lot of it depends on how you feel. A lot of it also depends. Sometimes you get some young people in there that are trying cases that need a little bit more experience. Mm-hmm. Jury selection is not easy, and it takes a lot of not a lot, but it takes some time to. Get used to how to do that.
I could see, I'm not sure exactly how the question's asked and if they like delve into what kind of friendship or how close it's a family or whatever, but I mean, I have a friend that was a Champaign cop that, you know, I'd call him a friend, but I haven't done anything with him in the past few months, you know. So in some ways it kind of makes you familiar that cops are people too and cops can make mistakes and maybe you don't hold them up higher because you may not know any. So I don't know. Exactly.
There's always follow-up whenever they say they know a related to a close friend. A lot of times
so
it's a neighbor.
Close friend,
a lot of time it's a neighbor. It's somebody in church.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a relative. Sometimes, you know, my grandfather's retired, whatever. And then you ask, at least I ask follow-up questions after that to make sure that, so, you know, we're going to have a police officer testify. You're going to be able to judge his testimony only by what you see in here in this courtroom and not be affected by the fact that you either know or related to. And most of them will say yes. And it's not unusual. Sometimes they'll say that would be hard. So they're excused.
Well, we're going to move on. Oh, we have an announcement.
Just
that Ms. Puppy
couple more sentences. If you'd like to look at the, I'll pass around the program from the Employees Recognition Event, and you can see our three commissioners have the longest years of service of any employees. Gene Suggs with 35 years, Anna Skinner with 26 years, and Wawanda's with, she had more than one job with the county, but Gene Suggs has the longest number of years of service of any person being honored, 35 years. Roger presented the certificates that Chief and Rose obtained for us.
Judge DeFonis organized it.
It was very nicely done, and at the end of the lunch, Mr. Suggs came up to me and said something that not a person in this room would be surprised that he would comment. You people got to understand that when people are hourly paid, they don't want to serve on jury duty. If you're hourly paid, you're probably not going to have time off for jury duty with pay. And we do know that. I received an email a couple days later from Wanda thanking us for the recognition. And maybe I'll bring this up under new business. I don't know how folks feel. This would be up to Chair Wyball. Maybe opening our membership up to additional members. She could provide some very useful service as a member of this committee, having been not just, I mean, I feel with having her as a friend, I'm in the front row seat, but maybe having, if you might
think about. I think you just invite her, and if the body pleases, they could just include her as an unofficial member. That way you don't have to deal with the county board.
Okay,
which I recommend.
Understood, Chair Wyball. I'd certainly take it from you. Just about the same day as the recognition event, had a conversation with Steve Beckett. Just so that you know, and John, I'm sure you know, the court watching continues. We're wondering, well, where's the annual publication? The answer that Steve explained to me is, until the data that are collected show a different picture, they aren't going to produce one of these formal. The conclusions were the same, and then they were the same, and then they were the same. I had wondered about that, and so I just wanted to share what Steve had shared with me about that. That's all I wanted to share. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jenny. Roger has to drink his Coke. Randy has to leave soon.
I have about 10 minutes. I have a meeting at 6 with
him. Okay. So the things that we have, I think where Randy was going to come in here was in relationship to the pamphlets and to the money.
Is it okay if we jump to that for just a moment?
Yes.
Okay. Ken has, I think, the final draft of the pamphlet, the trifold pamphlet, and he's ready to make 800 copies and give it to somebody. And so that's taken care of. And I guess he'll just contact you or to give them to you.
Yeah, he can just contact me and I'll go get them.
Okay.
But you're making the payment. How's the
He has the check. He has a check. It's good to go. So he can print them up like that and have 800 ready. The other issue is about we have $500 more, and Ken could just produce another couple of thousand of that same brochure. He and I were talking about the possibility of maybe producing a couple of thousand of the same brochure, so we have plenty of them. But his concern in doing this kind of stuff is that it's very detailed, it's very lengthy, to possibly not create a new brochure, but to edit it down to a smaller, maybe two-page document, maybe for a different type of an audience. So perhaps use the $500 to spend, $250 maybe to produce more of this one, and $250 to produce a shorter version. And he wanted me to find out what your thoughts were. We wouldn't add anything. I mean, I printed out the brochure and I found some things that, are redundant and whatnot. I could work with Jenny on that before we decide on it.
It may not be a bad idea to have something that would be useful to hand out when you do have school kids come in, because the brochure that was developed so far is, as Randy said, very complicated and detailed. And although there are some publications from the American Bar Association that are available for kids, finding something that would be maybe in the middle of something, maybe at the eighth grade level, so that it doesn't bore high school students, but is, easily understood by that level of reader, might be something that would be useful, at least in the tours that are given at the courthouse.
So is that something that you said?
So if people are okay with using some of that $500 to produce a shorter, more simple product,
yeah,
I can work with Jenny, I can work with Ken, we can develop something and go forward like that.
I think that would be great. Larger type, fewer words.
Right.
I think Tricia had some ideas too.
Okay, I can talk with Tricia. So.
Okay, good.
So, okay.
That's great.
Thank How many pamphlets would we get for $250?
We are getting, for 200, we're getting 800 plus 20 of those posters. So probably 1,000 of the trifold for 200.
Good.
So if we made a shorter one, you'd probably get more than 1,000 for 200.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Let's see. Status of the jury commissioners.
We got two. I need one more.
So the young guy, Brother Greg Hayes, works with me with these citizens with conviction, and we were on the radio program, and Jenny called in and announced about the jury commissioners and the need for a jury commissioner, and he said that he was interested. And I thought he was going to come here today, but we actually have another meeting that he's chairing because I'm here. I think he's around 30 years old. He, African-American, young, understands this system as we're working on some stuff already. He brings a couple of things to the table from the standpoint of knowing this system, things that we were trying to dispel other misnomers. He has a felony conviction, and he is Muslim. So there's various different components that he brings to the table that brings quite a bit of diversity in one package. Mm-hmm. He's energetic. He's certainly willing to get out and spread the message. So I wanted to recommend Greg for that position. And I'm sure we had other people that we wanted to talk about or interview. Because I think Jenny had someone, one or two people, right?
Yeah, I thought I'd hear back from people with the names I threw out, and maybe people just didn't want to respond. The names were Ted Atkinson, different age group, mm-hmm. Terry Townsend, mm-hmm. like older than I am. And
thank you, Jenny.
Judge, I had thought because for a long, long time the jury commission has been composed of people who are retired. Mm-hmm. And so I've been thinking just of older people, but a younger person could make it a priority. If they decide, I accept this commitment, I can be there on these days, I can make my other job obligations second place to this, which will be my, if he could commit and accept a three-year appointment. Mm-hmm. This is for the first time I'm just thinking about a younger person. Mm-hmm. Who understands the problems of people who are dealing with child care responsibilities, mm-hmm. that sandwich generation where you're responsible for the well-being of your parents and for your little ones at home. So that's making me think outside how come I put myself in a box, but I had.
Well, I know Terry quite well. I think Terry would do a great job. I know Ted. Of the two, I think Terry would probably be more, I guess, keen to this particular set of issues. Ted, as a historian, he does know what's going on, but both of them would have the time to do so. So I certainly wouldn't. I would not.
Could I make a suggestion that, since we really would like to get this done, if you talk to anybody, they're interested in it, have them call my office and set up an appointment. Come in and let's talk.
Or forward them my email.
Or your call Roger, mm-hmm. and we'll set up.
What's the number again, Roger?
Office is 239-5789. So
239-5789.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
No extension, just straight.
That's straight to my office.
239. That's an old. That's my grandmother's number in Chicago.
It's a new number.
But yeah, we would like to get in. And one of the like Jenny said, if we had somebody who. Historically, it's always been a retired person, but one of the, hopefully, side benefit is if you get someone who's on the jury commission who shows up that one morning, talks to the people that have problems, but then is willing to go out in the community mm-hmm. and talk up jury service.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
call Roger first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can also give my email address if they'd rather communicate, and obviously we want to make sure that they leave some sort of contact information, because that was the one thing I think that was missing. The names were there, but we had no,
okay.
Unless the person, you know, we know who we had never
met. Okay, okay. I thought those people were so famous, everybody knew them. Really? But apparently not.
Okay, so that's good. Just a quick report from the League of Women Voters presentation. Thank you, Joan, again, for inviting us there and hosting that. I thought it went well. We got some good information out. Got Roger to speak and Judge DeFinis to actually speak out in public and stuff. And I hadn't seen this until the other night. I don't know where they got that horrible picture of me from back in the days when I don't know what was going on. But, wow.
It was just finally nice to get the recognition I deserve, man. Let me just say that.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Judge.
After years and years, it was just, that was just great.
So I thought we got good press out of it. I thought the information was good information that was shared, and we also, it's going to air a total of at least 3 times on UPTV. What were the dates again?
Well, 2 are passed, but mm-hmm. this Sunday at 9:30 p.m. on UPTV.
So it's just part of our education stuff. And the first Saturday in December, Roger will be my guest on Straight Talk Live. Mm-hmm.
That's so, what, the third? What is it?
Is it the third? I think
fourth?
It is.
Yes, third? It's the third.
And what time is that again?
Is 11. It's 11 a.m., 11 to noon. So that was just more information on education. Know. Education. Anybody else want to add anything to that? Okay.
And want to add anything to about the show?
Just to report back on the presentation.
Oh, on the presentation. Yes, I have something kind of concerning to say. After reading the story that was in the newspaper, one of your fellow airshifters at WEFT, Ms. Buckner Boone, was commenting about, Aaron Allen's trying to get more people to say yes when they get summoned for jury duty, and they got a law passed. People who are collecting unemployment insurance can now serve on a jury. Wow. How long did it take for them to come along to that? So here is a public perception that the work that that our amendment to the Jury Act ended a prohibition against jury service by people who are collecting unemployment benefits.
Interesting.
That's a pretty serious misconception. We have a large, and that was someone, she was proud to talk about it last Saturday's show, and she knows you. She was commending your good work. You finally got it so the people who are collecting unemployment can be jurors. Wow.
No good deed ever goes unpunished.
No, but I mean that's a big problem. If the misunderstanding is that.
And if you listen to Aaron every time he talks publicly, whether it's radio, uh-huh. it's getting out the right information,
right.
Sure people understand
yeah.
exactly what this is all about.
That was just bad. Yeah.
Wow.
So we have a lot of education to do.
Well,
Carol and I will be on tomorrow.
Both of us are going to walk out of the room so that we're not confused.
You're familiar with the whole thing about how our names go in, and it is a little complicated. I could see somebody making that mistake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to keep plugging away, right? I guess you can't please everybody. Wow.
Well, no, we can please some people some of the time. She just got the wrong picture.
Do you know her?
Yes.
You can correct that.
Yeah, I'll speak to her, definitely. And then tell her to go back on the radio and make a correction. Bill, did you have a report from the...
Just a little bit. I can say Kirk did get me the data with the disposition on it. That was the issue last time he sent me the data, but he didn't have a disposition. So there's this is from May of 2010 through April of this year, so it's a full year cycle. There's almost 12,000 questionnaires, about 5,000 that came back and were qualified to serve. 3,600 summons sent out. So there's a lot of, so the next step is to geocode all those addresses so I can accumulate them into like census blocks and do the analysis and everything. And that'll take a while, but hopefully within a month or at most 2 months, should be able to have some analysis done. The disposition, hey, at least the kids have something to do. Now you see them here, they're not on the street.
As far as this map is concerned, you could have saved the state a lot of money if you had drawn the one for them, too.
For who?
State of Illinois.
Oh.
They're still tied up in federal court on the map.
So it includes disposition. I'm still trying to kind of figure that out. And I can maybe check with Roger about a couple of things. But I'll probably have questions for Kirk. But it's real detailed. It's probably more detailed than I was, way more detailed than I was expecting. It says if they're excused, whether it was hardship, self-employed, preschoolers. So some of that might be interesting to map too if I got around to it. But the disposition we wanted mostly because we wanted to know whether or not it was returned, basically, whether the questionnaire was returned and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll get some useful information out of it. I just haven't had a chance to really get into it much yet.
Okay. So when, instead of me putting Bill's report on every agenda, when should we get up? When do you think we'll get ready to do your presentation when you can hold court for about 30 minutes?
I can say for sure, probably not next month. I'd guess the month after.
January?
Yeah.
Okay. This conversation that we were having about an actual panel of ex-jurors, something I would like us to do maybe next year, and I just wanted to put that out there and maybe try to, if we're still going to, if the committee thinks we should still do it, then I'll look for an actual date, location and stuff like that. Maybe work with one other person. I don't know, maybe Barbara and I could work on something like that. But I just wanted to make sure that we were still thinking that that was something we wanted to do.
I think it would be interesting to hear.
We could get mad on it.
Yeah. Really? What a fascinating.
Really?
I really.
You could cross-examine them or something. Right?
Well, you know, people with different experiences.
No, I think I would love to hear actual experiences from jurors who felt, I think it would be important to make sure they understood that their comments couldn't be like if they're working on a case, how do you know it's not being appealed? Their thoughts or their conversation or their statements, could they be subpoenaed in a...
No, it's pretty well settled that once a jury reaches a verdict, unless there's been some outside influence that took place while they were deliberating, mm-hmm. Like somebody sending them messages or something like that, mm-hmm. no matter what the jurors say afterwards, the court's not going to go back on it.
Unless they came in and said somebody snuck a TV in and we was watching, something
right.
Like that.
Or somebody got bribed or somebody, you know. Mm.
Or they did their own investigation outside of what was presented. Mm.
But once the jury reaches a verdict, it's rare that the courts are going to overturn it. I don't think that would be a prohibition against it. I think it would be a good idea.
So then other than their own maybe apprehension or whatever, mm-hmm. they're free to speak.
I think it'd be interesting to see what their, how much they thought the diversity on the jury made a difference if it was diverse and whether or not it was and how they felt if they thought there were enough people there to represent the opinions and ideas that were necessary to evaluate the case and stuff.
That would be phenomenal if we had a person who actually sat in a all-white jury and then they sat in a diverse jury and what they thought the differences were. I mean, that would be. I don't know how in the world something like that would happen, but we've had some people who served.
Can you tell me what we hope to gain out of this is to get interesting people who, with their jury service together. They wouldn't have known each other before agreeing to serve on this panel, and who would be in the audience listening to the discussion?
Could we not do it like you did it at your Banner City Building the other day. Mm-hmm. League of Women Voters could sponsor something like that.
And then it's telling.
Well, the other thing we could do is we could, once we're ready to go, we could ask during orientation that after a person's service, if they wish to participate, just to call in and let somebody know. That way we have fresh the closest in time people to uh-huh. talk about their service, as opposed to trying to just reach out broadband to the community mm-hmm. And ask, and then just have them let us know, and we can take their name. I'm not sure how many people would be willing to do it, but it's certainly a way to get their attention in an easy and cheap way.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, I like your question. For me, I just think it'd be intriguing to hear the thoughts and the mindset of people who've walked through this. What were you thinking when this was presented?
So they would come to this meeting and talk to us about their experiences.
Mm-hmm. No, no,
not necessarily.
I was thinking the actual public participation.
And I think there are a lot of groups who could be interested in this. For one thing, I certainly would be interested in it, because in addition to the issues that we're talking about here, we could ask, what would you improve your service from a court perspective, and ask them, you know, what worked for you, what didn't work for you, how are you treated, and get some sort of feedback on that. The bar might be interested. I know that the one time this was discussed, I think, might even have been a law day dinner or something like that, where people, I think they got three people to come in and talk about their service. So the bar might be interested in their experiences and what worked for them. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who might be interested in getting a chance to listen to this and talk to them about it. So. Mm-hmm. It can definitely be broader than just the issues that we were discussing.
Well, Barbara and I will work on setting this, getting a location and all that kind of different stuff, and try to iron out a few dates to throw out to people and see where.
And you should all think of people you know that have been on juries that might.
I was on a jury once, and afterwards we were called, had an opportunity to volunteer at the law school, and they interviewed us. Paid us $20 about the experience of being on a jury.
Which is probably more than you got paid for juries.
So we won't try to iron it all out here. We can get together and we'll report back at next month's meeting on that one.
Yeah, in answer to your question, Jenny, I think that in addition to just being everyone's curious about what goes on inside this black box, even the judges, I think that it would increase a sense of trust, which is what we're trying to foster, that people would honestly talk about what happened in their jury, and there'd be different experiences, and people who are watching it would say, oh, okay, I guess it's a real thing there. You know, and we want people to step forward and be a part of it. So.
And if this is a positive thing, it could even be broadened so that we give jurors surveys, ask them to fill them out and tell us what they found. Boxes, check them, give us information, feedback.
Okay. All right, we did the follow-up on the pamphlets and the payment. The radio ad.
We need basically a bill.
An invoice, or at least some description of exactly what services we're going to be getting, because even though the money is within the control of the judiciary, we're still audited by the Supreme Court, and they have to have some sort of documentation to understand exactly what it is.
So if Mr. Pirtle can get us an invoice directed to the Citizens Advisory Committee,
sure. And
then specifying what it is that we're going to get for the money, and then, like Roger said, we just had our last audit, last month.
Mm-hmm.
The administrative office comes in and audits our marriage fund.
Okay, so an invoice with the description of services directed towards CACJS.
Right, and it's a six-month, it'll be a six-month block.
And then just go ahead and, if you want to just send that to me, or, you know, copies to whoever wants a copy, but send that to me, then I can start the process of actually getting the payment taken care of.
So if I can get this from him, or from WBCP tomorrow, will we be able to take care of all this in time for us to do the show December 3rd?
It's about 2 weeks. It might be tight because of the holiday, but I can certainly try.
Well, we have to, I sign off on it, the chief signs off on it.
And it comes back.
And it comes back, and then I sign the check. So, I mean,
if the process is going, I don't think he's going to say we can't do it without, but if we've gotten the ball rolling, I think we're good. I just wanted to see.
If he can get us that, we'll get that started.
Okay. Also, in relationship to the radio ad, if you all would just email me components that we feel like need to be, you know, what needs to be in an ad, right? You know, that can be a 30-second or 60-second ad or whatever. What do we want to say so that I can try to juggle it around, maybe come up with something catchy.
Did you ever do yours about
the poem?
Yeah.
I can't find it.
I have something to share about that.
Okay.
I was trying to find it before the League of Women Voters luncheon, and I thought that I had it in my minutes. I have Claire Capes. I don't have yours, but I have the date that you recorded it, and if we have the audio, I can tell you the date that you shared it with us.
Okay.
So then we go to the magnificent archives of the county board's website, and it will be there. Oh. But, Aaron, I'm afraid that we're going to be reinventing the wheel here. If you want us to go back and say what we think should be in an ad, because that's what we spent, I think, our first 4 months together talking about what should be in ads.
Just go through the minutes.
Some can be simple, some can be complex. Remember when we created ads?
Yeah. I mean, you can use Patrick's. I think you ought to use that one, and then you're talented enough to make up a few more.
You could probably take a lot of the stuff. I mean, obviously, we have to distill it a great deal, but take the stuff from the pamphlet. If you wanted to do one that was more artistic, and then have one that is more just fact-related, mm-hmm.
You
can certainly
do that. Claire, that pamphlet ask factual. Claire to do, it's ask, wonderful.
Could you have Claire come and read hers?
Okay.
All right. Wasn't the ads also supposed to be kind of promos, so you can from the show coming up, or
yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Just kind of, I'm gonna mix it all in there together,
like a tease.
So I'll come up with something.
Sure.
But you're rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. I thought that was profound.
Yeah,
depending upon from whom I have to pick. That was the other line.
Oh well.
Well, now you're starting to remember it.
Well, I have to tell
all
you the
coming
date.
Back
it's
to
the
now.
Date. Find the date.
Roger. Yeah, that's your name. Roger. Update on any returns, anything?
You're going to keep offending me by calling me Randy. The data hasn't changed that much from last month. I'm passing out the spreadsheet that I got today from Kirk Bedwell. 7.79% of the almost 9,000 questionnaires, the individuals identified themselves as African-American when compared with Bill's data on the census, which he indicated about 11%. It's a 3.2% disparity. Again, more work to do, but that's the latest data as of today.
So, in essence, the disparity is what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to increase this number, then we'd be right where we want to be as far as what the census data says.
Right, what we want to do is increase the percentage of African Americans and others who are underrepresented. Every time there's a negative number in that disparity column, we need more of them and less of the other.
You know, I was just thinking about, you know, businesses, you know, when you call in, if you have a name that sounds African American, they just, you know, some businesses, there's some studies show that they don't hire you, that they don't call you back. I mean, just weed out all these white-sounding names and don't send out to so many white people.
White-sounding name.
Oh, wow, man. I just don't know what in the world could be done, you know, around this. But it's just...
I mean, that's the 3.2% that we have to work on.
Yep. Well, I just want to make sure we have the data we can... Mm-hmm.
Did you say how many did not... let's see, I forget now. How's this work? They cannot mark it too, right?
Yeah, this has nothing to do with those who did not mark. This is the one only identified those who did mark.
Do you have an idea how many, what percent did not mark?
I have no idea. I'm guessing that if they bothered to fill it out, they bothered to mark it.
I see very few that are not marked when I do my jury selection.
So people they're not having a problem self-disclosing?
No, I think, not the problem, that I think the problem is we're just not getting them to turn it back in at all.
I noticed Mary Shank was pretty interested in whether or not they were self-disclosing or not.
And we can certainly provide that information.
Yeah.
Bill has now in his hands every piece of data that we've ever done in the jury system since the dawn of time. So.
All right, next meeting, y'all. What? December. What's open? It's got to be early, right?
I'd say December's closed. It's January.
I agree. I got about two or three quick nods on that one. Like,
yeah,
it's
quick.
December.
I
haven't
got it. By the time you get the people who have holidays or other issues in there, you are. The 23rd is a court holiday, so that one's out.
The 20th, which is a Friday, I have to go to Paris, Illinois.
Illinois. Oh, shit.
There's a good restaurant over there, I believe.
So
where in Edgar County?
So
the
January,
the left bank.
So we're talking January what?
Okay.
That's the first Friday in January.
Let's see.
I've been there. There was a restaurant there that I used to go to.
The 6th.
That sounds
six,
good.
6/13/2027.
Let's go with the earliest in January. January 6th.
January 6th.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Public participation.
January 6th.
No.
Well, again, I want to thank Jenny. It's very educational to us to see. I'm glad, I know you're trying to do this right, but it's a tough problem.
Well, you know, I guess I can see what these county board and city council members feel like when nobody comes to sit and listen to all this hard work that we do. So it's nice to have some public participation. Well, hope you come back.
Yeah, getting back to Bill's map, if the city of Urbana adopts that map and you have a representative from that district that has a substantial number of African-American citizens, that person would be someone we might invite to the meeting. That person
mm-hmm.
would be someone that we could get involved with some outreach.
Right.
I mean, that's the benefit of that type of a map.
We could even try to have some sort of meeting where we invite the councils, all the councils, and just have an open meeting and then just discuss what we've done so far and encourage
mm-hmm.
them to help us. But we haven't done that yet, and
mm-hmm.
that might be a way. No matter what it is, you know, sometime next year, just have a meeting where we invite this Urbana, Champaign, Rantoul, whatever, Mahomet city councils, and have them come.
All right. I like that. Mm-hmm. Aaron read an untitled original poem that begins, "I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. Appreciation and approval of this work is unanimous." That was on July
16th. July
16th. No, I didn't have one copy of this, so I'm going to write it down on this. And this tells all what we talked about, what should be in it.
I'm surprised you don't have it memorized.
So
the July 16th.
July 16th, if they're taped, you read it aloud on that day.
There's no guarantee that we taped it, though, is there?
Were you archiving the actual taped meetings?
Taped for... For what meeting?
For this meeting.
They should be all on the website.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were just saving them from month to month, but.
No, they're still archived.
I like
they
this.
Should be on there.
Holland suggested a theme along the lines of a day in the life of a juror, designed to increase the comfort level of a summoned juror who's never seen the inside of a court or jury deliberation room.
I move we adjourn.
Before someone says something nice about me again that you can't change.
Second.
Second
by Roger. All in favor?
All right.
This meeting is adjourned.